Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up later, I'll be looking at the Wildlife Act and the fact that from this week it's prohibited to burn vegetation for the duration of the bird nesting season. But first, poultry and the restrictions that have been in place due to an outbreak of bird flu. Nigel Renahan is the IFA's Poultry Committee Chairman. He's been telling me about what's been happening over the past few months and what the current state of play is. There have been housing restrictions placed on poultry farmers, both north and south, due to the bird flu outbreak. But in the north, it now seems that the restrictions will be lifted from the 17th of March. Fair to say, a little bit of confusion as to what's going to happen down south?
Absolutely, Chris. The meetings that I had with the Department of Agriculture, we were told that what was going to happen was we were going to do this on an all-island basis, which meant, I haven't been informed by the Department of Agriculture in Republic of Ireland, but according to rumours that they're going to be left out on the 16th come 17th of March in Northern Ireland, is that the same in the Republic of Ireland? I do not know, and there is a lot of confusion around that.
So just give us a little bit of background. Basically, there were a number of outbreaks in Britain, and then we had reports here, and the department really had no choice but to act.
Well, they did have no choice. I had been calling for the birds to be kept indoors for quite a while, and eventually my words were heard. Look, it was the best thing to keep them in. There is a bit of a conundrum, let's just put it at the minute. Up until today, what we were told was that all birds would be kept in after the 17th of March. Now, we didn't have a problem and don't have a problem with that. Where the difficulty has arose is that the department on the labelling of the eggs, what the department wanted to do was make all free-range farmers register as barn egg producers, number one, and number two is that the packaging that would be already there in relation to the free range would be, they could use the same package, but they were doing was going to put a label over the part that said free range birds and free range eggs, and was going to say barn. Now, this is not acceptable because if you look at this logically, the market in Ireland is for free range and commercial. We do not have a barn market in Ireland. So at the stroke of a pen, what you're actually doing is creating a brand new market on behest of the Department of Agriculture. Like, it's a bit, you know, it's a bit ridiculous. So that's what you're doing. You're just going to go in the morning, there's a winter shop, and there's free-range eggs one day and the following day. There's no such thing as a free-range egg in the Republic of Ireland, and they're all barn eggs, which would mean, effectively, that maybe demand would go down for that, or prices will go down to sell the eggs. When people and farmers have invested huge amounts of money in going into free-range production, to find that they've been put into barn production, which is probably less lucrative, number one, doesn't have land attached to it, number two, and that the farmers, when they get into free-range production, an expensive form of production, they will base it on a price for free-range produce.
Now, there are quite a few free-range producers of eggs in counties like Donegal. So these are understandably somewhat worrying times because they don't know just what exactly is going to happen.
Well, my suggestion in relation to this was very simple, was that, and I had said this to the department, that the birds that are on a free-range farm are specifically free-range birds. Now, to some people, they might say, well, so what's the difference between a free-range bird and a commercial bird? The simple, that's like comparing a Holstein cow with a Belgian Blue. And that is the difference here. So maybe people on as comparing a racehorse to an Irish draft. That is the difference here. One is bred for outdoor laying eggs and one is bred for indoor. They're different genetics. And it's just like comparing a racehorse with an Irish draft. That's the difference here. So people just got to be mindful of that. So the board that is outside on our free-range farm is a free-range board. And no matter whether it's indoors or outdoors, it is a free-range board. The same as a racehorse. You can keep it, whether it's in the stable or it's out in the field, it's still a racehorse. And that's the same as what I'm trying to say with the free range production. So what I want to do is I want the packaging to stay the same. They are free range birds, and the only thing that would be amended is there will be an additional label put on saying these free range birds are being kept in for a period of time to protect them from avian influenza on behest of the Department of Agriculture. That seems very long, but it's shortened up. But that's effectively what I'm looking for. Now, I've explained that to the Department of Agriculture, but look, there's been a sledgehammer's come down today because we were always told we were going to do this on an all-island basis. Now, look what's happening. So I don't know what's happening with the department, but even if they're not let out, if they would go with what I'm saying, I think it would be a good compromise.
Now, moving to something, related to the poultry sector, the whole issue of nitrates, and again, looking ahead, there could be some difficulties coming down the track.
Absolutely, and your own county, Donegal, is funny. It's curious because it's one of the counties that has huge amounts of nitrates coming into it from the six counties, and you have a large anaerobic digester. I don't know whether it's completely finished or up and running or not, but it's built on the basis of taking in a lot of poultry litter. So where is all this going to be going to? The nitrates in relation to that, the runoff from that. And on top of that, to exacerbate the situation, if the Brexit continues to go the way it is going, and it is going to be, they're going to hit the nuclear button in relation to this, what do they do with the poultry litter? Do you export it from, they're going to be a non-EU country exporting poultry litter, an animal byproduct, into the EU. I don't, and I can't begin to imagine what type of paperwork that's going to be involved in that.
And what's the situation, do you think, just in relation to poultry going from north and south? We have the really big operators, the Moy Parks of this world. Are we going to see restrictions on the border, do you think? And will there be a lot of complications?
The one thing I can tell you that I'm absolutely certain of is that nobody knows. That's one thing I can absolutely be sure. Look, the restrictions, if there is, I couldn't imagine, and I don't foresee ever a hard border coming in. That would be putting us back 100 years. That would be catastrophic, you know, especially to Cavan and Monaghan and Donegal and, you know, all the counties along the border. We couldn't. The thought of that is just too much for people even to contemplate. Look, in relation to poultry coming back north and south, there's not that much. The end of lay boards actually tend to go into Northern Ireland and then into the UK that way. There is no market for them here in the Republic of Ireland, so if that closes up, I don't know what's going to happen. And we also have to remember, within Europe, as exporting poultry, imagine this, we have to get load them up onto a lorry here. We generally go into Dublin, or we go to Stranraer, and you have a situation there now that you're going to have to take the containers into Northern Ireland, out of the EU, across England, and let's say into France. So we're going in and out. We have to cross two borders the whole time. It's just a ridiculous scenario for us.
A case of watch this space.
Look, as the Chinese say, may you live in interesting times. This is, I don't know whether it's interesting or just worrying, but where we are, look, I suppose Ireland's in a good enough place at the minute in relation to exports, but getting to our markets, and our primary market is UK number one, but number two on top of that there, after that, it's continental Europe. And for us to get to continental Europe, we're going to have to go to a non-EU country.
And finally, Nigel, there are opportunities, nonetheless, still out there in the free-range sector.
Absolutely. The free-range sector is a sector that is expanding, and expanding quite rapidly. 51% of the eggs produced in Ireland are free-range, which is unique compared to the UK, and also organic. Organic has seen a huge boom. It's unbelievable. There's a huge demand for organic. The organic eggs from Ireland are being sent all over the world, United Arab Emirates, Middle East. They would kick the hand off you. I don't mean, but, you know, metaphorically speaking, but there's a huge demand for them out there. And even in relation to mainstream poultry, for commercial layers, there's always demand. Donegal's, you know, it's not far away. And even broiler breeders, there's, you know, there's opportunities there for farmers. There's, you've got Western Brand, which is down the road in Ballyhornis. You have Manor Farm there, which is relatively close up here in where it's in Shercock in County Cavan. So look, people should, you know, if they have a situation where they have a son or a daughter and they're looking for, they'd like to take them home, they're looking for an additional income, you know, you could do worse than getting into poultry production.
Nigel Renahan, IFA's Poultry Committee Chairman. The Irish Wildlife Trust is reminding landowners that from yesterday it's prohibited under the Wildlife Act to burn vegetation for the duration of the bird nesting season, which extends to the end of August. Well, Pádraig Fógarty is the Irish Wildlife Trust campaign officer, and he's been speaking to me about what exactly this means.
Well, under the Wildlife Act, every year there is a closed season to allow birds to nest and lay their eggs, and that begins in March and goes through to the end of August, and it covers burning and it covers hedgerow cutting and removal of scrub and that kind of thing. The burning has been a particular problem over the last number of years, because every spring we seem to see half the country go up in flames, and it causes a lot of problems.
If you do intend to have some burning, I mean, the legislation states that you should actually let the authorities know, but that doesn't always happen.
Yeah, that's true. If you want to burn, there's quite a lot of procedure involved. Actually, you've got to let the guards know, you've got to let local landowners know. Many of the upland areas are in special areas of conservation for wildlife protection, and you also need to get special permission from the National Park Service to do that. The research we carried out last year was that none of the wildfires that we recorded had any of these permissions, so they're all against the law.
Do you think enough people are really fully aware of the law and the possible implications? Are they maybe just sort of taking a chance?
Yeah, I mean, obviously on the surface of it, you're looking at people who are, you know, burning land and, you know, setting fire to things deliberately. But the issue is quite complex underneath that, because the drivers is in the reasons why people are forced to do this are bound up into depopulation of hill areas, and the subsidy structure and the policies that are made at a national level, which really don't suit upland farming.
Has the Irish Wildlife Trust had much communication and liaison with farming groups, for example?
Well, we do what we can to raise awareness of the issues. I think number one on our list is really to stop wildfires happening in the first place. We try to promote the ideas we would have in terms of making farming in these areas viable, while also recognising the other values of the land, not just in terms of sheep, but also in terms of landscape and tourism, and wildlife and the other things that we value.
The current legislation means that under the Wildlife Act, you are not allowed burned vegetation from the beginning of March to the end of August. Those actual dates, there has been some calls from certain sectors to maybe extend the season or to reduce it.
That's right, yeah. And coming to the Shannon this week, Heather Humphreys, who's the Minister for Heritage, is trying to get a bill through that would reduce the closed season. In other words, you'd be able to burn into March, and you would also be able to cut hedges in August. And certainly from the burning point of view, the purpose of this is a mystery to anybody who's looking on, because what it would do for hill farmers, I don't know, and the damage that is already being caused by these illegal infernos that go right the way through the summer is enormous.
The legislation that exists at the moment, how much is it driven from a national level, or is it a case of having to comply with EU directives?
Well, the Wildlife Act is national legislation. It dates from the 1970s, and it's a powerful piece of legislation, but it's not perfect. I mean, there's a lot of get-out clauses as well, particularly when it comes to hedge cutting, but certainly this is a national issue much more than... the Europeans, I mentioned, might come into it because a lot of these areas in our uplands are designated under European law, and there is a requirement to have those areas in good status for their wildlife.
And finally, Padraig Fogarty, Irish Wildlife Trust Campaign Officer. Just for people listening in, the procedure there, if you do intend to burn vegetation on land, what must you do? Who should you be contacting in advance?
If your land is in a special area of conservation or a special protection area, you would need to contact the National Parks and Wildlife Service. You would need to produce a burning plan. You would also need to let the Gardaí know, and you'd need to let Caoilte and other landowners, depending on how far away you are maybe from these sources. What we would like also is that if local people notice a wildfire, that they let us know, that they email us here at irishwildlife@iwt.ie. We're trying to log and track all the wildfires that are going on to see whether it's getting better or worse, and hoping that will have an influence on future policy.
Padraig Fogarty, Irish Wildlife Trust Campaign Officer there. Before we go, let me just remind you that Chagas and the National Rural Network are hosting a series of Expand Your Horizons evening seminars around the country. One was held in Balbuffet last week. The purpose of the seminars is to provide information on the range of agencies, services and funding and training opportunities available in rural Ireland. The second seminar in Donegal is in the Inishowen Gateway Hotel in Buncrana from 8 o'clock next Thursday. Now on to the livestock prices. Steer base €3.80 a kilo. Heifers €3.90 to €3.90 a kilo. Young bulls €3.65 to €3.90 a kilo. And cows making €3.10 to €3.55 a kilo. And lamb prices. Trade is steady. Factories paying €5.10 to €5.15 a kilo. Ewes €2.70 to €2.80 a kilo. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. Many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.